is spoiled. Translation. My dear king, if an agricultural field, one thing is you will have to really concentrate if you want to understand this text. It is a little difficult. So please focus your mind. My dear king, if an agricultural field is cultivated again and again, the power of its production decreases. And whatever seeds are sown there are lost, just as drops of ghee in a fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. Purport. If one continuously sprinkles drops of ghee on a fire, the fire will not be extinguished. But if one suddenly puts a lump of ghee on a fire, the fire may possibly be extinguished entirely. Similarly, those who are too sinful and have thus been born in the lower classes are allowed to enjoy sinful activities fully, for thus there is a chance then that these activities will become detestable to them. They will get the opportunity to be purified. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyari Shatarine Jaya Sri
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Govinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna
a summary of the verse.
Yes. If I can repeat.
Yes.
Yes. If one sprinkles drops of ghee on the fire, it may not, it will increase by this ghee given into it, but if a lump of ghee is put on the fire, it may extinguish. This is an example how a lot of sense gratification can it's in a concentrated form of sinful activities may help us to get a distaste for this and then renounce it. Whereas just always doing a little sense gratification may lead us to renunciation of this. And then there was another example given of the field.
When it produces so much, it loses its capability to produce more. Yes. So what do you think about this? It means Tungavitya can see films from morning till evening. It means we can break all the regulative principles from morning till evening, because then we will get a distaste. It's a very interesting verse, because this verse is on a certain level. It is not on the highest level, and it is not pertaining to devotees of Krishna. It's a very interesting discussion which we will have. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Daksha meets Narada Muni and is extremely angry on Narada Muni. Why? Narada Muni had just preached to all his sons to give up to not marry, to not go into the Grihastha Ashram, and and to follow the path of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness. So Narada Muni had done this understanding that it's the best for the living entity to be engaged in devotional service. But Daksha is extremely angry at him. He says, Asadhu, you are not a saint. You are the opposite. You are a not saint. In Yugoslavian language, you say priyateli, it means friends. Friend and enemies means nepriyateli. Nepriyateli. You are not a friend. Nepriyateli. So he says, Asadhu, you are not a saint. By bringing these poor innocent sons on the path of renunciation, you have really done them a disservice. The disservice is that you have robbed them or stolen from them the opportunity to make advancement. They should first have gone through the Grihastha Ashram, satisfied all their material desires, and then renounce. But if they renounce, now, and then get all these measly, these thoughts for sense gratification later because they are not satisfied, they will have a great, great problem in their lives. That's the argument of Daksha. Therefore he says, you are cruel. You are a nonsense. You pretend to be a sadhu, but you are harmful for the development. I have in my own life received two letters from disciples who said, you are not a real saint, Sachinanda Swami, because you tell us renounce the world and give up material sense gratification, but it doesn't work. Better is to engage in it, do everything with what is there in a natural way, not totally irreligious, and then make the experience and become advanced later. This is what should become. And what they write is not really so much, it's in our books also. Here it seems the same point is made. Just as drops of ghee on a fire never extinguish the fire, but a flood of ghee will. Similarly, overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desires entirely. It means you just do everything according to Kama Shastra, where it is described how you can fulfill your material desires, and then It's finished. Now, it's very interesting how Prabhupada gives his explanation to this verse. He says, but if one suddenly puts a lump of ghee on a fire, the fire may possibly be extinguished entirely. In other words, Prabhupada does not fully accept this philosophy. He possibly, there's a possibility. Now, this verse is obviously to very, very, let us say, low-class people who are very unadvanced in spiritual life. You know, for people who cannot have any sense of, let me say, renunciation, who are not austere by any ways, and who cannot understand that to get the ultimate good, one has to make some sacrifices. It's for low class, those who have been born in the lower classes are allowed to enjoy sinful activities fully, for thus there is a chance that these activities will become detestable to them. But this chance, if we hear it later, is a very vague chance, eine sehr vage Möglichkeit. Because sinful activities, they create two types of reactions. One is the immediate reaction, which is a sinful reaction. You could say after eating too much, there's immediately a feeling of being very full. So this is there, and then there is long-term reactions which come after some time. But then, listen to this, every sinful activity creates in the mind something which is called a sanskara, an impression. And this impression will force the performer who has done the sinful activity to go back again to the sinful activity. It's for instance, when one has sex life. Sex life is the greatest material activity, most intense, because all the senses are engaged simultaneously to the maximum capacity. And it creates a very, very deep impression. Now, after having done that, one wants to have it again and again and again. And this is particularly due, this is direct darauf zurückzuführen, that there is a sanskara in the heart. This is something which is discussed very much in our movement in terms of educating our next generation, the children. Should they experience everything? In the Ishopanishad it is stated, only he who knows the material and the spiritual simultaneously can make advancement. What would you say, Vuk? You had the possibility to see that material life is really not delivering its promises, because you had it and you had have seen everything. But what is with a young boy or a young girl who is born in Krishna consciousness and who never had the opportunity to know what it is to stand on with two legs in material life and sin? Can they really choose the spiritual side? They don't know. To make a choice, you have to know alternatives, otherwise your choice is not really true. You know. If I tell you, oh, Shyamananda, we are so happy that you have visited us from Switzerland. Today there will be breakfast, and you will have the choice what you will take. Then the breakfast comes and there's only bread and butter. then you don't really have a choice. You have to take bread and butter if you want to eat. There's nothing to choose from. We would have... So when we, in a similar way, give people Krishna consciousness, and they didn't have alternatives to Krishna consciousness, is it that they can, out of their own free will, say, this is my path? This is the discussion which is done. And there are two opinions. One is, yes, let them experience everything, just like we did. And the other opinion is, no, this is dangerous. Because if they experience Maya, they will be taken away by the illusory energy of the Lord on a long, long path of delusion. And they will possibly lose all their taste for spiritual life. That's the other opinion. Experience, this group says, who has this opinion, can be had by looking through the eyes of the Shastra on this world. If you yourself fall in Maya, you cannot really understand any longer what is Maya, because you are covered by the three modes of material nature, passion and ignorance, and you are carried away by these modes of nature, meeting what you consider good and meeting what you consider bad. But actuality, it's all material energy, it's nothing spiritual. This is the opinion of those who are more learned in the scriptures. The other group says, no, no, let them go to the disco, let them hear the rock and roll, Rodsky, Musicky, and so on and so forth. Now this struggle of opinion is also brought to the other devotees. There are many devotees now in our movement who think that it was premature, it was pre-ripe, it was not right to choose the path of renunciation so early. Many say that, this can create great problems in a person's life, and so on and so forth. So I feel every one of you has to think about this and come to his or her own conclusion. I do not really want to preach on this today, because I have learned that everyone comes anyways to his or her own conclusions. I just want to put the subject matter before you for your own deliberate thought. If you want, you can read in the scriptures, and you can hear from the saints what their answer is to this, but I will not press my opinion today on you. You will have to make your own steps. But I can guarantee you, you will have to face this question and come to your answers. If you don't face it, you will be unconsciously put into a situation, Maya will put a situation, where you will be tested, and it will be seen. And your realizations have to be, and you have to react some ways or another. Spiritual life means to make the choice, to make a conscious choice based on information. It's very, very interesting how the Bhagavad Gita ends. Krishna says to Arjuna, I have told you now everything. Now make your choice. What do you want to do? That's actually how the Bhagavad Gita ends. It's only that then Krishna sees Arjuna sitting and thinking and thinking and thinking. Then his heart is overwhelmed, and he says, my dear friend, I will make it easy for you. And then he says, man mana bhava mat bhakto mat. You know, he tells more. But the point remains. But Krishna also makes a very interesting point, and I have spoken about it, and I have heard how some people were criticizing Krishna for this. He says, maybe we should read it directly because it's so wonderful. Is there a Bhagavad Gita Mukunda in English or in German? English would be better, but if it is not available in English, we can have it. I want to tell you a little story of devotees who did not know how to react. It's called the Force 99. Do you know what it is? Or I told this in Avantoya?
Dominique,
someone told you. It's a story called Force 99. Now I can imagine that anyone who hears Force 99, what is this Force 99? I know of the gravitation force, but not Force 99. Well, it goes like this. Once there was a very rich man who lived next to very poor people. And these very poor people were very happy, actually. They lived, they chanted in the morning, then they went to the fields, they grew some grains, I believe, if I remember properly. Then they went home. They came back at 5 o'clock in the evening and they read the Bhagavad Gita all together. They were very happy and fell asleep and so on and so forth. So, Hare Krishna. So, one day, the wife of this rich man said, "Why is it that these poor people are so happy and you are always so depressed? We cannot understand what is going on." And the man said, "Well, it's Force 99 what is going on." The wife said, "Force 90? What is Force 99? Do you want me to show you?" "Yes," said the wife. "Okay, just see what I'm doing now." He took 99 rupees, not one more, not one less. He bound it into a piece of cloth. Then in the evening, when the family people were fast asleep, he took the bundle and threw the window into the sleeping room. It made like, and the wife of the poor man woke up and said, "Did you hear that?" "Maybe it was a cat who fell down. Let us sleep. We have to chant tomorrow. Tomorrow we can see." And they continued sleeping. Then, in the morning, one of the young boys was up the earliest. He came with a bundle. "Father, a bundle is here. Oh, let us open it. Rupees. How many rupees? I'm interested to know. Lord has given us rupees." "Count 99. Oh," said the wife, "it's 99 rupees. We need to get one more. Then we have 100. Yes. So they worked for a whole week. I mean, in India, it's, at that time, rupees was maybe like 100 marks for us, for our 1 rupee. In our categorization, if we work hard for 1 week, we can get 100 marks, isn't it? Somehow, with the CDs, you know, prasad, we can just give part of the temple and take a little part to us. After 1 week, we have it. I may have to do that. I may need 2 weeks, but eventually you get it. They worked very hard, and in the evening they did not return at 5 o'clock, but at 7 o'clock. And then they were very umorni, very sleepy, and they just could, take care of the household a little bit and then fall asleep. Next morning they woke up, but instead of chanting and praying, they, worked to get this 1 rupee more. And after a week, they had actually managed to get 100, to get 1 rupee, altogether 100 rupees. And then they said, well, now we have 100. It must be interesting to have 108. That's a religious number. And then they worked for the 8 more rupees. And this was actually the fourth 99 which worked. They lost their balance, they lost their time for the study, they lost their everything just to get the 1 more, or to get more. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna analyzes this force, it's actually greed. He says it's one of the gates which even a devotee must be very careful about, because if he goes through that gate, he will fall away from the process. These are the gates which lead to hell. Now in the 18th chapter, we were talking about this. See, Krishna leaves Arjuna saying, thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential, deliberate on this fully, think about it fully, and then do what you wish to do. But before this, he has made one point very clear, and I really feel it's important for you, because you will think about your lives today. If you want, you can do it. If you don't want, you don't need to do it. He says, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Mat vyapashraya means under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be actually free from the contamination of material existence, also of force 99 and other things, greed in other words, you need the protection of the Lord. Just like in order to remain dry in a rainstorm, you will need an umbrella, otherwise you don't get through it in a dry way. So then he says, in all activities just depend on me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Prabhupada says, the Sanskrit word matparaha is very important in this verse. It indicates that one has no goal in life save and except acting in Krishna consciousness, just to satisfy Krishna. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. This is what it means to be dependent on Krishna. We should think, when we wash the deity cloth, oh, I have, this is my duty which I do for Krishna. If we go and manage the temple, you should think this is my duty which I have been given by Krishna. Even if we play in the tennis court, which you, one of our devotees has to do, you should think this is, I have to do this to be able to stay here and so on. This is how a devotee thinks of Krishna while he is doing the things. This has been given to me by Krishna. I've been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. If we are like our temple organizers, we should think, this is my duty which Krishna has given me. Let's do it for Krishna. No? So, then Krishna says, if you think in this way, if organizers, we should think, this is my duty which Krishna has given me. Let's do it for Krishna. No? So, then Krishna says, if you think in this way, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Krishna says, it's not, will not be easy. There will be obstacles in the descent. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. And what it means to be lost is called here as ahankaram ashritya. That means to take shelter of the false ego. Yad ahankaram ashritya na yotsna iti manyase. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. It means by your nature you will have to be engaged in warfare. And Arjuna says he will not fight, but Krishna makes it very clear. You don't know, you say this now, but the way it will develop is that your passionate nature will force you to go into war. But then you have neglected my order and you will not act on the transcendental platform. You will act on the material platform. You will not make advancement. Ooh. Under illusion you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, son of Kunti. See, Krishna consciousness is a wonderful possibility to act because we need to act. It's not possible to be without activity. But if we act on the material platform, forced on the material platform, we will be entangled in the good and the bad and the mixed results of our karmic activity. But if we act on the spiritual platform, we will not have any reaction. Krishna said, one who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, who's just doing it, doing the activity, which we have to do anyway, but gives the fruits to Krishna. Though he kills men in this world, does not kill. He's transcendental. There will be no reaction. It's called akama activities. Activities which don't bring any activity, reactions, and they are considered to be akama, not activity in this sense. Nor is he bound by his actions. And I will read to you the word, the purport, because it's so wonderful. And then I will end the class. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know that a super sanction is there, why should he act? But one who knows the instructions of the instrument, then it gets very technical, which is very difficult for you to understand if you have not just studied the first parts of the 18th chapter. But Prabhupada makes it very simple. When a soldier comes under the command of a superior officer, he's not subject to be judged. If a soldier kills on his own personal account, then he is certainly judged by the court of law. In Krishna consciousness, it's a matter of do or die. It's an art of acting which requires a lot of actually understanding or faith. One of the two. Best is to have both. And then if you do, you can act on the transcendental platform and be not touched by the material energy. Hare Krishna. Bhagavad Gita ki. So I've come to the end of my little presentation this morning. I hope it was useful for some of you. Sind gerade zum Ende gekommen, Daniel. Sorry. Habt ihr irgendwelche Fragen? Do you have any questions? No? Is it clear? Let me summarize again, because that might help to put the points into perspective. My first point was to bring out a subtle philosophical... actually, there is really no disagreement, because they're just different levels on the path to spiritual life. You know, that some say enjoy fully so that you lose the taste. That's for people who are really, really with uncontrolled senses, who cannot control their mind and senses at all. The first death is called the Kama Kanda. By the way, these are most of the people in this world. That's why I feel Krishna conscious devotees, I mean, who really understand it and who practice it, will be a vast majority, a minority in this world. According to this, we will never become a mass movement, because even the Vedas, you know that there are 96 96 mal 100.000, wie viel ist das? Muss man die Nullen denn daran hängen? 100.000, wie viel sind das? 5 Nullen. There are 9.6 million verses on Karma Kanda, how to be happy in this world. And only 4,000... right. I have to write Satyanarayana, because it's common. All I remember is these numbers. When I come to numbers, I just... I'm totally disoriented. Wie denn jetzt?
Das Verhältnis ist 4 zu 96, aber mit 100.000 multipliziert.
Ah ja.
Also 400.000 gegen 9,6 Millionen.
Ja. Okay, there are 9.6 million verses on how you can become happy in this world. And there are 400.000 verses how to renounce the world. Why is this? The reason is because most of the people are not interested to renounce this world. But if they first follow these, you know, be happy with family, children, and so on, they are at least in contact with the Vedic verses, with the Vedic scriptures. And, you know, while following this, they will hear of Indra, who's enjoying in the heavenly planets, but sometimes due to his lusty activities gets cursed by a saint, and then he has to live the life of a hawk. Then they think, oh, it's not so unproblematic to just enjoy. Then they hear how there is another life. And then maybe they meet a devotee who says, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. If you go to the highest and to the lowest planet, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. And then, by being in contact with the Vedic scriptures, they begin to also understand that something is wrong being in this material world. It's a mistake. It doesn't make any sense. It has to be corrected. And then, when they understand, then they can slowly, after maybe many lifetimes, Bhagavad Gita, and in the end they hear, oh, Savaraman Parijaja, should just surrender to Krishna. Oh, why didn't I knew this 100 births before? So, in Krishna consciousness, we really are a movement which, but this is really the essence of the movement for Krishna consciousness. It's the essence of this movement is purifying the dirty heart from the material desires. But because this is difficult, our movement also has now deep thought. Srila Prabhupada said we must also make Varnashram, because it will be for too little. Only a very, very few lucky souls will be able to be on this platform. The majority will need Varnashram. And you will be glad to hear in this light there is a Sri Vishnupad will convene a meeting, I believe it's September. It's called the Social Forum, and many GBC devotees will come there. They will discuss how they can give our movement, these very needed. It's very needed because it's very human and very responding to the human reality. These possibilities how to advance. My own stand as an individual is like this. I personally think that it will not work to make this slow advancement. I've seen this, I have myself tried this for some time in Krishna consciousness, putting drops of ghee, sometimes this, sometimes that. Anyways, my life obviously is a little different than many, not in principle, but in detail. The way I put drops of ghee on the fire, some will light and laugh. That's not sense gratification, Maharaj. That has nothing to do with it. It's, I am personally convinced that we are in a very, very bad age. It's very, very unfortunate. We are very disqualified people for spiritual life. And if we don't throw ourselves before the feet of the Lord with tears in our eyes beg for mercy, there's no chance for us. This is my personal conviction. But I'm obviously not demanding this from anyone. You want to do it, you can do it. If not, you can also do other things and try it. Good. we will end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bibi Gauri Dai ki jai, Gaur Premanand Hari Ki jai,
Srimangare Srila Dashanand Maharaj ki jai.